Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, Park Fans. We are a podcast for theme park fans. And you know by now, we're here every week. We chat about things in the theme park world. We chat to interesting people in the theme park attractions industry as well. I'm Bex. Kev's back.
Hello, everyone.
Here he is. And you didn't want to miss this one because I know This is like your absolute thing. If you've listened to the podcast, you will know Kev's a massive fan of dark rides. Mm-hmm. And what really contributes to a dark ride, other than the ride system and the animatronics?
Absolutely.
The smells.
Smell. This is going to get nerdy. This is going to be a really nerdy conversation.
If you are not a theme park nerd, switch off now. Of course you're a theme park nerd. That's why you're here. I'm delighted to get Liam from Aroma Prime on podcast. Welcome, Liam.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This is so cool. We've never done an episode like this, and we should do, because actually smells are really important to theme parks, and I think we take them for granted, but actually when you think about theme parks, quite often we as nerds will associate a smell with our favorite theme parks and our favorite rides. It's really the smell, and if we smell something that smells like that, we are instantly taken to our favorite theme parks. So it's such an important part of attractions, and I'm so happy that you're here to tell us all about what you do and what Aroma Prime do. And Aroma Prime is who you work for now, but the history of this company goes way back.
Yeah, back to the late 60s, when it was kind of like an air conditioning company.
Glamorous.
And then it sold pleasant smells, and then gradually there were different projects and one thing led to the other, and eventually it became the go-to for the attractions industry.
Do you know what the first attraction based work was that the company did?
The earliest was must have been maybe the late 70s. It was the founder Fred Dale had kind of experimented with nostalgic smells, because he worked for care homes and he would put pleasant smells in them, and he would experiment with nostalgic smells like those of coal, fire and horses to bring back memories for the elderly residents who back then would have been young in like the 1930s and the 20s. And with that, he was eventually approached by a motor museum, I think, and they wanted the smell of poverty for some huts they were opening. So he did that. And then Jorvik Viking Centre called in the early 80s, asking if he would make the smells of a recreated Viking village. And Jorvik is still using the same smells,
yes,
and
right.
They're very famous for that. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, Dale Eyre was working with lots of theme parks, like particularly the Merlin theme parks. The vampire roller coaster at Chessington was one of the world's first centered roller coasters, although I recently found an earlier one, I think from Lightwater Valley, which was exciting.
Oh, no, we won't talk about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, things kind of grew as the projects came in.
Amazing. Yeah, this is like your dream, isn't it, Kev?
Yeah, well, it's interesting with all like the smells and stuff, because I think when we think of attractions, you're thinking a lot about visuals and sounds, aren't we? And I think in a previous podcast, we talked about how dark rides are effective when everything's working together, whether it's lighting, sound, animatronics, but also smells creates like you say, that nostalgic feel, but also is part of that immersive feeling. You really believe you're somewhere. And it's the same. I remember going to Jorvik as a child and going on that. And it's very immersive how that whole system works. But you throw in the smells and you've got the gross kind of smells. But that's what creates it.
Yeah.
And like for me, a lot of that I remember from the early days of going on the Haunted House at Alton Towers. So much so that I even had to research in how I could this is so nerdy, I'm sorry. Where I could buy this, because when the Haunted House changed to Jewel, it lost a lot of what made that ride special for me. And part of that was the smell. And I remember having to try and research and find out what smell was used in the Haunted House. I think it was either musty or earthy. I think it was one of those ones. I think back then it was called like Garden Shed, I think. This shows how
Which is both musty and earthy.
Which is both. You'll have to correct me there, Liam, which one it probably was. And I know they brought it back again for Curse Alt Manor, but it's that thing that throws you back. And it was to the point of like, I need to find the smell to take me back to the haunted house, what it was like in the 90s. I know Kip Hakes, who joins us on the podcast quite a bit, he talks all about Chessington and the bubble works and how the smells from that takes you back. And I think it's, you know, it's such a thing that we probably don't think about much, but actually is quite an important thing for transporting you somewhere.
Yeah. And I guess in a way it's good that people don't think about it too much, because you want it to just blend in and be part of the overall immersion. Well, I have found the original invoice for the haunted house. Possibly, right. It was maybe dated around 1990, and they had musty, and you're right, earthy used to be called garden shed. And they also had one called Street Bomb when it first opened. I'm not sure what scene that was used in. They stopped using that eventually. When it was Jewel, it was just musty and earthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, to keep that kind of nostalgia, because like you're saying, the power of smell is very important to lots of fans, especially as generations have been visiting attractions. So for the Curse at Alton Manor, they included Musty and Earthy as well. And then they added lots of other ones for the new scenes. And that's one of the fun things about the company being so old. We've got all these old formulas that we're still using, and people can access them. Musty and Earthy are very popular from Aroma Prime. And some attractions will use new bespoke smells, like Nemesis Reborn has a bespoke smell in the loading station.
Oh,
I haven't sniffed it myself. I think sometimes it's more noticeable than other times. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on when they've got the machine on. Some of them are readily available. Some of them are exclusive to Alton Towers and other parks. Our scent receptors are connected to the part of the brain that processes memories and emotions. And you get it in everyday life as well. There'll be smells that take you back to really specific memories, which is what makes smells really powerful in terms of evoking emotions at theme parks. But also they're a nice kind of sneaky marketing tool, because it gets people coming back and gets them talking about them. You can do scented merchandise like Efteling does to get people taking them back to the attractions when they get back home.
Funnily enough, I saw that just a couple of days ago. I was in the Efteling gift shop, and they had the Flying Dutchman scented stuff. They had all the other rides as well. You know, a lot of the dark rides like Fata Morgana, and they have, yeah, you can buy a room diffuser, you can buy a candle, which is scented to these rides. And it's unbelievable when you sniff them, because you are like, oh yeah, that's the smell. And you might not even necessarily know what the smell is until you smell it, and then you just know instantly what it is. And yeah, great merchandising tactic. And I'll be interested to see if Alton Towers do jump on that, because or Merlin in general, I think they could have an absolute winner on their hands there.
They could make the candles and sell them at the park.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Wicker Man one's it's wood smoke, isn't it, they use on Wicker Man? Because originally I thought there was one, I think, that used to be called Burning Witch. Am I right?
Yeah, we've still got that one.
Was that mainly used for like dungeons and stuff?
Yeah, that one's a bit more fleshy.
Burning Flesh, that's what you want. Because Wicker Man, it's, you know, that's where I'm initially thinking, but I think it's just wood smoke, isn't it?
Yeah, they did originally in the pre-show, they did use sage for that kind of ritualistic effect. But now I think it's just wood smoke that they use.
It is. It's a nice, like, smoky smell, though, in Wicker Man. Like, it's not a, it's a hit in the back of my throat. It's like, it is a really, really pleasant smell. Mm. So you have all these sort of set scents that you've had for years, and then obviously you get the bespoke ones on top. What's your core range? How many have you got in it?
The go-to line is over 400.
But
it's constantly changing. Of course, it's growing all the time. But sometimes we'll replace smells. Sometimes, like we used to have one called Dungeon, but then we released one called Dungeon Mildew. And that was also like relevant to other topics. So we removed Dungeon and other smells because this one catered to all them. And we got to think like, how much can we fit in our stock room and how much stock can we afford at certain times? So yeah, the stock levels, our collection's always growing and then getting smaller and growing. But yeah,
Yeah.
generally over 400.
That's
Because the one I
amazing.
remember,
I don't know if Bex, if you remember this one, but I remember the chocolate one that used to be used on Charlie and the Chocolate
Oh
Factory as well
yeah.
at Towers.
Yeah.
And that was really nice. That was, but again, that fit the theme. It just fit the theme. It worked really well.
It would be weird to go into a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory ride and it have it not smell of chocolate, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You want to believe that they are making some chocolate in that ride. And what would be the process for a theme park if they want a scent and you've got these 400 smells? Do you sort of say, well, I think you probably want one of these, or can they literally just come and have a sniff of them all?
Yeah, normally we'll send them samples. So with Nemesis Reborn, for example, they wanted something that was unique to the alien. So we sent them lots of samples. Some of them were completely new. And with samples, sometimes we've made them from scratch in the past, but because we have such a big collection, these days we can blend a lot of our existing scents. So we might put a bit of rotting flesh with a bit of fish, for example, and blend lots of different ratios together. So yeah, and we did that for Nemesis Reborn. We also blended in a bit of they have a bespoke alien egg nest smell that's used for Subterra. So we included that in some of the samples. Yeah,
So
so we'll
cool.
do that. All the different scents are kind of the prices vary, but they tend to have ranges depending on the bottle size that you get. And theme parks will normally get the bigger bottles because they need them for a long time. And then we have different machines as well for different kinds of settings. So they have a bigger machine for the loading station of Nemesis Reborn because it's open to the outdoors and the smell's more likely to
Yeah, of course.
escape. Whereas enclosed spaces like in the Gruffalo ride or like Alton Manor, they have smaller machines because the smell's less likely to escape. And they've got timing settings as well. So often in dark rides, there's the concern that the smells are going to overlap in different scenes. But you can time them so that you can control how long the scent bursts come out for. So you can make sure they're kind of strong enough to smell, but not so strong that they're going to drift off into the wrong scene and give the wrong effect.
Because I was going to say, how long do they last for? If you say on, say for example, let's talk about Hex, for example, which I think uses musty. In that kind of when you walk into the vault and all that section, if you plugged it in, say, like how long will that kind of last before they'd have to replace it again? Because I'm speaking out loud here, because there are times where I'm like, I can't smell it. Not replace the bottle.
Yeah, it depends what their timings are like on the machines, because if they're having it running constantly, then the smell's going to run out faster. Whereas if it's just occasional bursts, it will last a lot longer. Our usual guidance is based on bottle sizes. So our smallest bottle, we normally say that will last a few hours to a day. And then our biggest bottle, which is 1 liter, we'll say can last multiple months to around a year.
Oh,
Um,
wow.
so yeah, sometimes it can depend what bottle size they have and how often the technicians are topping them up.
It's really very concentrated stuff. It's like an essential oil type amount that you need to just get this really
Yeah.
pungent smell.
So once they're prepared, we dilute them so that they can flow through the machines nicely. But other than that, compared to like perfume, which will have like a tiny percentage of actual fragrance in it often, we dilute a very small amount. So they're very stinky when you open the bottle. Sometimes you can smell them without opening the bottle.
Oh, really?
And that is useful for ambient scenting at theme parks because you want them to be noticeable and strong. compared to perfume, which you don't want to be really overwhelming. So
Yeah.
you can use a small amount and get quite a good effect from that.
See, Liam, I'm going to ask a question, and I do apologize if anyone is eating at this current time.
This
So
is
if you are, you
fair
might want to
warning.
pause. So if you listen to the podcast while we're having breakfast or something, just take a pause a second. As we're into the Halloween season, and it's Scarefest and Fright Nights and Scaremazing and all sorts of things, some of the particular scents that are used in these mazes are quite can be a bit repulsive on purpose. The one that really comes to mind for me, because one of my favorite themed scare mazes was Darkest Depths at Scarefest, and one of the strongest smells in that was the vomit smell, because you
Oh.
go through the whole, all the sailors are throwing up, you're in the middle of a storm. How do you create that smell without obviously having to get you can see where I'm going with this question. Like, how do you get that kind of smell?
Well, there are lots of different the scent oils are made of different chemicals, and lots of them, the individual chemicals have different properties that are associated with different topics. There will be certain smells that have like the sweetness of vomit and the acidity of vomit, and you can blend them together. Lots of people like often will want to smell real life things when we're recreating a smell to get it accurate, but lots of people are very familiar with the smell of vomit, so I don't believe my predecessors had to be sniffing vomit to get that one right. There was maybe it was either possibly 2010, when Saw Alive was going to be opening. They did a kind of press thing at Thorpe Park where people could wee into bottles, and the stinkiest wee was gonna be what the wee smell in the scare maze was
No.
based on.
Well, there's a PR event and a half,
Wow.
isn't
And
there?
I know they did have there was like a staff member who sniffed who the winner was. And yeah, the idea was that it was meant to, the smell was meant to be based on that, but I have no evidence whether that actually happened or not.
Wow.
whether we just made a wee smell and said, yeah, it's based on
That's
that
so
one. Yeah.
funny. That's ridiculous. Can you imagine you turn up to your press event and just whilst you're here, would you mind
Yeah.
just giving this a sample? It's like being at the
Have you
doctor's.
had asparagus today? Let's find out.
Yeah.
Barocca. Well, fascinating. Do you yourself get involved with the mixing of the scents then? If it's like, right, we need I don't know, let's just say a damp, foresty smell. Would you be like, right, okay, let me get to work, pull on your white lab coat and off you go?
Well, I work remotely and I manage the factory. So a lot of the time I'll be on the phone to them and emailing them, and I've got a big briefcase of samples. So if we need to make specific blends, I'll sniff the samples together and I'll ask the factory to make those certain blends. Sometimes they'll send me samples so I can approve them or like request tweaks. I do go to the factory sometimes and get my hands all stinky. And sometimes I'll be involved in the research as well. So we were making a woolly mammoth smell. So I went to a farmyard where there were llamas and sheep because they lived in similar environments, and they would have had like a kind of dirt matted into their coats. And they had similar diets, so they would have had similar smelling poo. So yeah, sometimes you can sniff things in real life that help inform, especially things that don't exist anymore, where you have
Yeah,
to
who knows what a mammoth
get as
smells
many
like?
clues as you can. And I was fortunate to smell rhino poo at Chessington once.
Say
They
fortunate.
handed me some rhino poo, and that was very valuable to me because in my line of work, it's important to know what rhino poo smells like. And I recently recreated it for a poo exhibition in Leeds,
Nice.
so came in handy.
Wow.
This is, you've just got the most mad job. First of all, I'm picturing you with your briefcase of scents, just like Inspector Gadget. Yeah. What would you like? And then the fact that, you have to really consider if you need to make a new smell, you have to really think about, well, what does that smell like? And what can I sniff that's similar enough that's going to give me an idea? Like, to think, a llama will be similar. That's just... I would never have thought about it like that.
Yeah, sometimes, particularly with things that don't exist, we can't always sniff things in real life. So there are lots of other clues that we can get sometimes, like there might be fossil evidence, like there have been fossilized poo that's like suggested what animals or civilizations used to eat. So then we can think, okay, they would have had these animals around and these plants around. Or we can talk to experts. We were recreating the smell of ether, which was used in surgery. And of course, our team couldn't be sniffing ether because they would have been knocked out. But there was a medical professional, retired, who had worked with ether during his career. So he would sniff the samples to make sure it was all correct. So it's kind of like an investigation. We have to get as many clues as we can from different places, and just make sure it's as accurate as it can be.
You take it so seriously as well, though. Like the you're not just like, "Oh, that'll do." Well, yeah, it's what a mouth smells like. It's like you will actually go, "No, we've got to do this properly, and we've got to find a way to make this as accurate as possible." Yeah. It's amazing.
No, it's really interesting because it's a lot of the stuff when we think of haunted house. What do you go to? Attic, musty, those sorts of things. But to create something from your own imagination, particularly if it's something fantastical, I'm thinking of rides that like fairy tale kind of stuff, which you don't, you've got to kind of use your own creativity, haven't you? I bet that's quite a fun part of your job then, isn't it, Liam, is that creating stuff from scratch?
And it can be, even with fantasy stuff, I try to take the same approach with fantasy stuff as I would with historical stuff, for example, in terms of accuracy. Kind of like if when designers are designing a facade and they want to make sure the architecture is historically accurate, for example, if you can kind of get those, even if they're unnoticeable details, if you can get every single detail accurate, then it can all help support the overall immersion and storytelling. Sometimes we do have artistic liberty if it's like with Nemesis Reborn again, as an example. Yeah. With that, we thought about more like the colours. It's kind of got a meaty, maybe smoky colour, the personality of the beast and the experience of the ride. It's not a mellow ride, and it's... the music as well, we wanted to complement that, and it's kind of eerie music in the queue. We didn't want it to be like a really forceful smell that was gonna, like you might get in a scare maze. There are different factors you can consider if it's more of a fantastical experience.
Do you get sort of brought in on the creative brief a general point then? So obviously you've mentioned you knew what the music was like, you kind of had some idea about how the ride was going to look. Is that how it usually goes? So it's a bit of collaborative working of like, okay, you need to know this and this, and then you guys work together and get something that all is cohesive at the end.
Ideally, though, the team will get in touch really early on so that it can be incorporated into the experience properly. And we might be showing like concept art, or it might be top secret. So maybe we'll sign an NDA and they'll tell us everything. But a lot of the time they won't tell us anything. But I'll think, okay, well, they're refurbishing this, so it's probably for that. But a lot of the time customers will get in touch pretty last minute, and it kind of reflects how smell is often approached in experiences. It can sometimes, unfortunately, be something that comes in if there's some budget left over, in which case it will be a bit more of a fast turnaround. And they'll say, we need this kind of thing, and perhaps it will be things that we can get off the shelf or we can make quick blends of. So it does vary a lot. Sometimes it will be really, we'll be proper involved. We might even visit them. And sometimes it will be a fast turnaround, or it might be like a third party that is working for the theme park. And we won't, again, we might not even know what project it is. And our smell's out there somewhere, and we just kind of have to guess a few months later when we find out that there's a smelly ride.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Oh, that was me. I worked on that and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
One of the other things that smells do is sometimes are used to kind of entice you into something. So, and what I mean by that is the main thing that comes to my mind is Main Street USA in Disneyland, and that they use a lot of the scented sweet smells like candy floss to kind of get you to kind of, oh, that smells nice, I might go and buy something. A very Disney thing to do. But have you been ever been approached by Disney, or do they do their own in-house kind of thing really?
I can't comment one way or the other. But I'll say we've worked with a variety of customers. Sometimes things have gone ahead, sometimes they've gone far and then not gone anywhere because of different opinions. Sometimes there can be loads of people working on projects. Some people think things are good ideas. Some people think, oh, that might be an issue for that. I guess as happens with all sorts of projects and different elements, things will be in the concept and then it will get lost somewhere along the way. But I do know, what I can say is that Disney has used lots of different suppliers over the years. Originally, like back in the 70s, I think that maybe the 70s was one of the first times they used artificial scents. They would get like shop-bought basic air fresheners. Things were very rudimentary back then. And then in the 80s, they started making their own technology with the smell at Epcot. And that was when things were really booming in terms of smells in attractions. And that was quite an innovation because it was it overcame that challenge of having the smells overlapping in dark rides, because it would shoot across the track and there was a vent on the other side of the track that would quickly suck the scent away. And they used kind of like very basic fragrance companies for that. They were using, well, I guess they had like volcano smells, but they also used orange smells in Horizons and something else, I think. And they had a few different like run-of-the-mill fragrance companies for that. And then, yeah, over in more recent years, they've used different suppliers that kind of make themed smells and all sorts of... Lots of people say like Main Street has smell-itzers, which isn't true, because the smell-itzer was specifically for Epcot. Main Street actually just has commercial scent diffusers that anyone else can buy. So yeah, it's a big
knowledge.
Okay. I like it.
I just want to talk about Curse, because obviously we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, that Kev is a massive fan of the ride, and I'm guessing you were at Aroma Prime when Curse was being done, so it's something that you specifically worked on. It was a ride that had a lot of history in its two previous forms. How much of a brief did you get from the creative team, John Burton, to say, right, this is what we want? Or how much of it was kind of do what you think is right for these scenes?
Well, I was kind of time we were involved in it to any extent was at IAPA in 2022 when we were exhibiting, and Conductor came and visited us and said they were working on an attraction, and they couldn't say what it was, but I could quickly pick up what it was. And we sent some samples. I believe we sent them to either Conductor or John or both of them. But I know that John Burton had already worked with us a lot, so he was familiar with our collection. So that was more of a case of them just checking the smells and forming their own list. So eventually we got a list. It was a bit close to opening. So we didn't have
Really?
there was a coal fire smell, and we didn't have that in stock at the time. So when Curse Alton Manor first opened, it had wood smoke that's also used in Wicker Man during those first few months just before we could get the coal fire sent to them.
Is it before you go through Charnwell Tunnel?
I'm not sure what scene it is. I don't know if there's a fireplace behind
You go
Emily
through
when
the
she
you
has that
go
big shadow.
no so you go through the yeah so there is that she's in like a living room kind of scene in that bit, but you also go through the fireplace when you go into Trommel's tunnel
Oh, yeah, that's
because it
probably
go
it
because
then.
the idea it was meant to be covered in smoke, so you couldn't see Trommel's tunnel originally. That was in the original idea, was that you would go through the smoke into and it would light up like you're on fire, and then into Trommel's tunnel where the clock's turning at the end. That's the only bit I can think. I've never noticed a smell in there, but maybe I don't know. Because the main thing for me was that you've got the musty, earthy smell within the house for the pre-show bit. And I was always convinced, because I know you have a smell called attic as well. Is attic used on Curse? Because that seems an obvious one, but maybe I've convinced myself. There's a in the spider scene where you go into the actual attic bit.
Yeah, I don't think it is, but it's used in the attic at Alton Towers Skenfest. Yeah, it's got rotting flesh in it, and it's got carbolic soap in it, which I think I'm not sure where the soap is used, but I think it's part of that idea of evoking the kind of Victorian
Oh, it's at
setting.
the end. I think that's it. You know, when you exit the ride and you go down into the shop, I know there's another smell that's used there, which is meant to create a Victorian house kind of smell. So that's probably what that is, actually,
Yeah,
the
maybe
soap
that's
smell.
to mellow people before they go into the gift shop, make them think, oh,
Diddly
I'm
Bex,
gonna.
yeah,
Say,
Bex
oh,
needs a bit of
yeah, oh,
carbolic smoke,
I need
soap.
more than a soapy smell when I come off that ride. What's it like for you then when you've worked on this and you've given them all the scents and then it's opening day and you get to go and ride it? Are you enjoying the ride or are you like sniffing? You're like, that doesn't smell right. Yeah, it's really exciting, particularly the Curse of Alton Manor when I got to ride that and smell the smells. And often, it might be the first time I've been on that ride, or at least been on it in that form. So I'll kind of be enjoying it as a fan. But I'll often be sniffing out and thinking, okay, I haven't noticed that one, or that one's very noticeable. I guess like lots of theme park fans often do. I really enjoyed it. It was last year I went, it was for the compound opening. I was helping out with that, doing like smelling activities. And when we went into the park, it was really late at night and it was cold in the house. And that was a really interesting effect. That was my favorite ride of it ever. Because I was smelling it, and there was the darkness, but it had that kind of autumnal coldness. And temperature is another thing that's really fun to play with. And it's another one that's kind of tricky to play with. Sometimes you can use smells to evoke different temperatures, like a kind of minty smell to make it feel cold, or a smoky or a spicy smell to make it feel warmer. But yeah, that was very enjoyable, that cold ride of the Curse of Alton Manor.
Hey, that I'm gonna try that out now at Scarefest next time I'm there. I'm going to wait till it gets really cold and be the noticeable difference. I just like it because it shares the same scent as the Haunted House. I really appreciated that they kind of kept that.
Smell's a nice way of saying things without saying them. Like with the Curse of Alton Manor, Kind of setting up the atmosphere without saying this is a haunted house. The Edinburgh Dungeon, in their courtroom, they've used a whiskey smell, which is a nice way. Like, there's nothing to suggest that the judge is drunk, but whiskey is, it's, if anyone notices it, it lets them kind of infer another layer of context to the situation. So yeah, smell is a nice way to kind of, and in scare mazes, if you want to maybe set up a false sense of security, or you can foreshadow things happening, you turn a corner and see it, and that helps build the tension. So yeah, smell's a nice way of sneaking in details. It's a nice way of immediately transporting people as well, particularly in dark rides. You want to really quickly communicate the changing context. So smell's a nice way to say, like, this is a spooky moment, this is a moment of tension, or this is a calm, happy moment. Because you've got seconds to communicate what's happening to people.
You mentioned the Efteling sense of a sail. Are those ones that Aroma Prime have worked on?
Efteling's another one that I can't confirm
I
nor
can't go.
deny.
Because that is a park that is filled with scent. Like, every ride is so, has got such a strong identity with scent.
I do know they've worked with a company, a local company. Well, initially they were bottling the scents themselves, as far as I can tell. And then they worked with like a room spray manufacturer. So some of the scents, such as the Flying Dutchman, as far as I understand, are like new interpretations that this manufacturer's developed for them. And they've got like a piranha smell
Yes,
now
yeah,
as
they have.
well.
Which doesn't, yeah, I would say that piranha doesn't really have a smell apart from maybe slightly musty water.
And
but
that
then
kind
something like
of
Dreamfly, I'm not going to just say it in Dutch, again, with that very, like, almost sickly sweet sort of floral smell, but it's very, very distinctive. And they do have a candle for that now as well.
I think with the ones, the rides that have smells, it's important if you're going to sell merchandise, it needs to smell just like it, otherwise it's not worth it. And then you've got, the more the interpretations, like with Piranha, that's more along the lines of what Magic Candle Company does, for example, where like they have a Pirates of the Caribbean smell. I haven't smelt it myself, but apparently it kind of just smells like a fresh sea smell more than the kind of mildew that people might not want for candles.
Have you ever worked with Sundown Adventureland?
I believe we have.
Because there's some very, well, their castle, Lollipop Castle, has been refurbed this year. But it's obviously, it's a castle based on sweets, and that has a very, very distinctive minty smell as you go into it. And again, that whole making you feel cold, the minty smell that they use there definitely does that when you go. It's a very, very, like, cool minty smell. So I wondered if that was one of yours.
It possibly is. I can't remember exactly, but off the top of my head, we might do smells for their Christmas events if they do them at all.
Yeah, they do. And they've got a Christmas ride that's open all year round, which again also has a distinctive smell.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Well, they have two Christmas rides, believe it or not. Two Christmas rides. One of them's only open at Christmas, but the other one, yeah, you can go on all year round. And that's amazing because, again, you get on it. And the smell helps, obviously, all the twinkling lights and Father Christmas and all of that. But there's definitely a smell, and you're like, oh yeah, this smells festive when you're going around it. And it really, even in the middle of July, you can get transported to it being Christmas. It's really, really nice. What fascinates me is how you've kind of got into this. So were you a theme park fan, or were you a perfume fan, or what made you get into the world of scents? So do you have a special, like, smelling technique?
Well, I don't have any perfume training. So I've come at it more from an attraction design perspective. I did an animation degree first, and then I worked in animation, and then I moved into escape rooms and designing and running an escape room. And then I did freelance designing for attractions, different experiences and interpretation, like interactive features in the Horrible Histories maze, for example. And that has smell stations. And yeah, so I was working with this and I knew that Aroma Prime existed. So I contacted them and asked if I could help out, knowing that maybe with my background, I might be able to like understand where the customers were coming from and what their processes were like. And also like just understanding attraction design and experience and storytelling. So yeah, I helped them out a bit. And I was learning about smells along the way. And I've stayed there. That was 2018, and I'm still with them, managing them.
Wow. Do you think you have to have a nose for smells? Is there, or is it something that you can learn, or is there something sort of instinctive in you?
I don't think I have an especially magical nose like perfumers might have, but I think that's important for my particular role because I'm not working with other perfumers like we're not selling perfumes to people that want to bottle them and sell them, and that's their whole industry. I'm working with like museum curators and roller coaster technicians who have what you might call average noses. So I think it's good that I'm on the same kind of level as them as far as that goes. And I'm not using lots of a complex, like sometimes with the scent makers, it can be quite a challenge working with all sorts of different people and knowing what language to use when they're talking to them. So I'm quite happy to not use lots of complicated perfumery talk with people, and we'll be like, they'll say, I need something that smells like fish, and I'll say, okay, we've got the fishy stuff. And we'll send them samples, and it's nice and simple.
And do you find yourself just being aware of scents everywhere you go now, even when it's something that's had nothing to do with you, nothing to do with the Aroma Prime, you're somewhere and you're like, I'm not sure about that smell, or they could have done something better there.
Yeah, I'm very interested in scent technology. I was in Asda last night and they had like a display with some little holes in it that you can sniff, and I took a picture of it just because I get excited by that kind of thing. And I'll look at like air fresheners and look at the ingredients and the regulatory standards that they're keeping to, because regulations are a whole other thing with smells. Yeah, it's and I'm also, maybe you've noticed, I'm really interested in the history of smells in theme parks. I recently did lots of research on what Disneyland might have smelled like in its early years, and I
Oh, cool.
recreated some smells based on that. And I got to ask Bob Gurr some questions about his
Wow.
memories of
Wow.
Disneyland, how it smelt when it first opened, and how Walt Disney smelt.
Wow.
Oh,
That's so
I bet he
cool.
smelled lovely. I bet he had a very nice
Oh,
musk.
wow. Well, he smelled of cigarettes, apparently.
Oh, okay, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Wow. That's
That's
amazing.
incredible. I mean, and I suppose the thing with this is it's never going to go away. Everything, we're always going to want attractions that smell different, and you're always going to get a new challenge, and things are going to constantly evolve. And like you say, the technology is going to evolve, and but what it comes down to will still be a little tiny scent in a bottle that you've put together. How it gets dispersed might change, but you're always going to need those chemicals mixed together. Is there anyone that you'd particularly love to work with?
I think I guess classic Disney rides like Pirates of the Caribbean or Haunted Mansion. The Haunted Mansion only has a gingerbread smell at Christmas time.
All
I
right.
often think Phantom Manor could do with, well, Phantom Manor,
I love it. Yeah.
which
Phantom
I'm
Manor pictures.
indifferent about, I think could do with some fabulous smells, maybe in the catacombs or Melanie's boudoir, or maybe you can smell some wedding cake as you go past the ballroom.
Has it not got smells at the moment then?
No,
No,
doesn't have
that's
any
really surprising.
Disney's. Yeah, Disney parks are a bit funny about smells. I think maybe it might be partly an American thing. They're a bit, even though there are lots of rides that have really memorable smells in the USA, they're a bit less hot on, I guess they're compared to Europe, they're not so big on disgusting smells. So I think they're a bit more sensitive to what they put in people's noses there. And even like on the Figment ride, like Figment does a skunky fart and it just smells of coffee. So they're a bit less hardcore than us over in this part of the world.
We love our earthy smells over here. Give it, no, we live musty smells. But I do agree. Yeah, Phantom would be the one if you were going to put smells into. That's definitely one I would think it would add to the experience. Definitely.
Well, you never know. That phone call may come. I hope it does. I hope you get to, well, I don't, you're happy anyway doing what you're doing. I mean, God, you're working on some amazing stuff. What a cool job. What an interesting job. And you must be one of very, very few people in the world who do this as well, which is always cool to think that there's hardly anyone who if you meet someone, you're like, what job do you do? And if you say, oh, I make smells for theme parks, like,
That's
what?
just
Like,
so cool.
it's just
That's
unbelievable. No
so
one's
cool.
ever going to have said that to them before. Before you go, now I know you are a bit of a theme park fan, so I'm going to ask you this question.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where we put our guests on the spot and say, if you could only save one roller coaster in the world, what's it going to be? Now, this may or may not be a smelly roller coaster.
Yeah.
It may have
It's
no scent
not
at
a
all.
vampire. You could go for a vampire if we're going for smelly coasters.
Well, I'm not going to put any ideas in your head.
Okay, yeah.
So
No.
it's totally up to you and for whatever reason you choose.
Well, my go-to, I'll have to elaborate on this because I was thinking, what smelly one can I pick? My go-to was initially Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris, because I'm personally more of a dark ride person, and Big Thunder Mountain's a nice go-to, and it's marvelously themed. It doesn't have any smells, but in my research, I've been writing a handbook about using smells in attractions, and part of that has involved lots of historical research. And Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris was going to have a dynamite smell, and it was removed just before it opened because it wasn't working out. So yeah, that's my choice, because
That's
it's
a good
one that
one.
I like, but it does have a smell connection as well.
Well,
Yeah.
maybe you need to pitch it to them that they bring the dynamite smell
Yeah, I
back.
guess
It
maybe
would
they could
work.
achieve it
It
these days.
would work again, and a whole not it would add to that. I've never really thought about talking about how immersive these rides are, because we're talking about smells, and I've never thought, like, why have Disney not, apart from obviously in the Main Street, I'm like, I'm intrigued now why they've chosen not to go down that line. Because Big Thunder, you go in and you go up the inside of the mountain, you'd be all sorts of damp cave kind of smells and stuff. That would be great for that whole section on that first lift hill, you know. But it's a good coaster though. That's
It's a
one of my favorite Disney coasters.
shame they've only just redone it, because they're probably
I
not going to
know, yeah.
redo it again anytime soon.
Yeah.
Maybe you can insert a smell pod fairly easily, can't you? Just
Yeah, it's simple. It's funny because any time I go anywhere now, I'm approaching it thinking about the smells. And it's funny when you do that, and you might go to like a major theme park and you realize like, oh, this doesn't actually have that many smells, and then you go to some really niche place that hardly anyone knows, and it's got loads of smells. So it's interesting how things balance out.
It really is. Well, Liam, thank you so much for coming and joining us on podcast today. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. Where can we find Aroma Prime? I guess you're online and we can order stuff from you as well.
You can buy the smells. You want your house to smell like Wicker Man? Do it.
This is amazing. If I was going to buy the smell, in what form does it come?
Yes, well, let me go back and grab something. I've got what's called the aroma block, not that I'm doing an advert. So this is what we use. This is really popular in museums because museums don't want liquid particles getting on all their artifacts. So this uses what's called dry diffusion. And it's just a scented spongy material when you just remove the lid for the scent to come out. So that's really handy. It spreads the scent like around a meter. So you get this in some scare mazes as well, where it's quite narrow. Theme park fans often end up getting the aroma block because it's a nice thing to like have on a desk or a shelf.
Can you buy like the little liquids? Is there anything you can do with them? Put them in, I don't know, an essential oil burner or something. I don't want to do anything that's
No, yeah, be safe.
flammable or toxic.
Yeah, you can buy any size of bottle of the scents. We've got a little 25 milliliter one, which is $13.99. So there is a bit of a cost to them, but it's a bit of a special thing to buy. You can use them in our scent machines. You can't put them in traditional water diffusers. If you have any questions about diffusing them, or you can buy a spray, which is easier. We do aroma
Oh
sprays.
yeah, that'll be lovely in the
They'll
bathroom.
just might just stain things if you spray too close. So it's best to spray into the air
Into the
instead.
air.
You sort of say on your website, oh yeah, this is the scent for this one. So if we're looking for a particular one, we know which one to go for.
Yeah, well, all the scents are in different categories, and we've got a theme park fan collection category where you can find lots that are relevant to theme parks. Some will say this is used in this ride, and some will kind of hint that
Hint.
this is like a fairy themed
Inspired
ride.
to this.
But not saying where, but if you know, don't you?
Mate, so if you really want the smell of rotting flesh, you can. But I
And
would
vomit.
probably
Vomit is on there as well. So if you want to experience
I
being
would
on
probably
the
go for one of the nicer smell. I could go for a bit of wood smoke, definitely. I could go for a bit of Wicker Man, especially in autumn. I think that'd be quite nice. Amazing. Well, we can go and check that out. So what's your website?
It's aromaprime.com.
Amazing. And I know you're all over social as well, yourself personally. So we can come and follow you if we search Liam Findlay.
Yeah, I'm Liam R. Findlay on social media because there's a Liam Findlay who's a CEO of some theme park company in the Middle East. So I've got to differentiate myself.
Okay, well, we will definitely hunt you down. I'm already following you on my accounts as well. So if you do go to the podcast pages, you'll find Liam through that, and I'll tag you in some of the stuff from this episode as well. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been fascinating, and I'm sure we will chat to you again in the future. If you have enjoyed today's episode and you haven't already, do hit subscribe so you never miss a future one. And if you'd like to leave us a review, we're always very appreciative of that as well. For now, though, we've been podcast.
Podcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.